to Jesus, who we serve, and that's the way that we are as a church, as a follower of Christ. We should be that bold and in that holiness. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven." The next thing he did is after he came down from the mountain, he went after the Pharisees. You know what's the next thing he did? He went after the rich. He went after the rich. He goes, I got a word for you. This is coming down from the mountain. I got to tell you. And he says, you cannot serve two masters at once. You're either going to fail one or fail the other. But you cannot serve two masters of money and the Lord and Jesus. Love all the, he goes, you can love all of them. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's the same for the rich today. It's difficult to be rich and to serve God. Now, we've heard it, you've heard it, we've all heard it. This nation is a rich nation. We are blessed. We are blessed financially. And that makes it more difficult because we tend to start to depend upon our finances, and we tend to depend upon our bankroll. Well, we got to save up for the end. We got to save up for this. And that's the American concept. Yes, that's true, but not at the expense of God. Not at the expense of God. And let me throw in a little something right now. TCAC right now financially is struggling. We're struggling financially because the numbers have gone down, the offering has gone down. You guys have been fantastic in the tithing and for the people we have. This is a very short season that we're in right now. It's about to pop, it's about to burst loose. But while we're here, we need to listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to what the Spirit of God is putting in your heart, because it's not the tithe, but I'm asking that we go beyond and above the tithe and do what the Spirit of God tells us to do so that we can keep this place running. God is mighty. God is strong. God is powerful. But you know, in all of his mightiness, strength, he uses us. He uses us. We're not going to find a black bag secretly put in there that'll meet all of our needs. We have Christ. We have God. And God likes to work through his people and through his people that we hear and we listen. So I ask you, listen to the Spirit. And I ask you, move and do what the Spirit tells you. Because this place is, God knows what we need, and the Lord's going to provide it, but he's going to provide it through us. Chapter 7. Good gracious, Mark. Amen. This, I might ask you a few times, because just naturally I'm an encourager, and I love you, and I always want to back you up, but God's put something in my heart, in the spirit of my heart, and this is not my message, it's the Spirit of God. So ahead of time, if I offend anybody, please, I love you. Please forgive me. But I've got to preach the Word of God, and that's what we're going to see this morning. It's the direct Word of God. Chapter 7. Chapter 7 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of God and obeys the Spirit, obeys the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not do these miracles in your name?' He says, 'I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" He was talking, and this is the bold God to be able to say this to the church. I mean, we had all the people, but Lord, what are you talking about? We're your friends. And Jesus was able to tell them, "Unless you do the will of my Father, you are not, I do not know you." Yes, we know God and he knows us, but I'm talking about knowing you. I'm talking about having a relationship with him, having a daily talk with him, hearing his word and walking with him. My brother, sister, I'm telling you, if these last sermons we're talking about getting this imitation counterfeit joy, counterfeit peace. And what the Lord's trying to offer us is the real peace, the real deal, the real joy. But we got to let go of this counterfeit. And he's just warming up. Chapter 8, there was a great storm. There was a great storm. He was out there, and he was asleep in the boat. Remember that? And his disciples were over there all worried and going like this and all worried. And they're looking at him and go, "Ha, look at Jesus. He's crashing out." So they go over there and wake up Jesus. "Jesus, we're about to die. Help us, help us." He looks up. First thing he does is get after them. "Why are you so afraid?" He stands up. He rebukes the storm. He rebukes the storm. He tells that hurricane, he tells that tornado, be still now. And it was calm. And he went back to sleep. And the disciples were looking at him saying, what kind of man is this that can control the elements of the earth? And they were amazed, but they were afraid. They were afraid of that power. They were amazed, but they were afraid. It's okay to fear God, but don't forget, he's on your side. Then over in verse chapter 8, when he arrived at the, when he got to the other side of the region, in Gardenia, chapter 8, verse 28, two demon-possessed men went up there. There were two demon-possessed men standing in this area, and they passed through those places where the caves are. Now, the Bible tells us that nobody walked through that area because of those demon-possessed men. They were violent. They were bad. They were mean. They were killers. They would walk through. They were possessed by demons, and they would go. Well, Jesus just kept on walking. I can see his disciples. Hey, isn't this the place where? And Jesus kept on walking. Then all of a sudden, the two men jump up. They come running to Jesus. They come up to him, and I can just see the disciples backing up. And they look at him and they say, Jesus, my Lord, have you come to torment us already? Please leave us alone, leave us alone. See, even the demons know what's going to be happening to them. He says, are you come to torment us before our time? Is it time already? Is it already time that we got to be tormented? And Jesus says, no, not yet. And he cast out those demons from those people. And they were able to get back into their clothes, into their fitness, into their humanity. And in their humanity, there was joy. And they walked up to the town that they were from, and they said, look at us. Ah, I'm free. And all the people saw them. They said, wait a minute, you're not possessed anymore. What happened? He said, Jesus, he got them out of us. Jesus, he has that strength. The power. He didn't even flinch when we came up here with rocks and ready to beat him. He didn't even flinch. And he cast the demons out. And all the people, they gathered around. All the people gathered around. I can't believe this. They ran up to Jesus. Said, Jesus, did that really happen? And he said, yes. And they said, get out of here, will you? They were afraid, the word says. The people were afraid. Verse 34. The whole town, they were afraid of Jesus, and they asked him to go. Jesus wiped his hands, says, I can do the miracle. I can cast out the demon. But if you ask me to go, I'm not going to force you. I'll walk away. See, God can move in your life. Jesus can cast out the enemy's hold on your finances, on your health, on your whatever it is. The Jesus, when you call upon his name, he can do that. Our response is not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. Take it, grab a hold of it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's go. How much further can we go with you, Lord? Grab a hold of him. Take a hold of them, but don't back off. Don't be afraid. God's about to do stuff here in this house. Don't be afraid when it happens. Don't look at it and go, oh, I've never seen that before. We're going to see Jesus doing some stuff here in this house that are holy, sanctified, blessed, and pouring through his spirit. God's spirit's going to be moving. Souls are going to be saved. Demons are going to be cast out. People in wheelchairs are going to walk. People that are having vision are going to come back. God's going to be doing the miracles here, and he's preparing us right now, this moment. Don't be afraid, but get ready for him. Get ready for him. Chapter 9. What I'm doing this morning is just skimming through the book of Matthew. So if you haven't read it this year, here we go. Chapter 9. Whoops, I forgot to read that last scripture. It says, some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And when the crowd saw this, they were afraid. What, they were afraid. And what did it say in that version? The next scripture says, and when he's told them the sins are forgiven, and verse 8, and when the crowd saw this, they were afraid, but they praised God. They knew something was there. They knew God was there, and they did not fear God the Father. They were awestruck and afraid, but they knew God was there, and they worshiped him. And they said, who gave him such authority? How can a human have such authority? What would happen now if that happened with us? Chapter 10, Jesus keeps going. Jesus keeps going. And he tells the people, he tells his disciples, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of those who can kill you. Don't be afraid of those who can kill you. Now, how many times do we walk in fear, double check our doors, triple check them, and we're worried of a home invasion, and we're spending all this time worrying and worrying and worrying? How many times has that really happened to you? Zero. By chance? No, the Lord is watching over you, because in that household you are praying, you are being protected. And even if it did, do not be afraid of those who can kill you. You better shut your mouth. You got all this Christian literature and Christian signs out in your yard, and I don't want to see it, and I'm going to tell you I'm going to go over there and beat the heck out of you if you don't move. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anybody who can kill you. Then he goes on and says, be afraid who can kill you and send you to hell. That's who we need to be afraid of. And we're talking Jesus. Jesus, the strength of Jesus. The strength of Jesus that comes up, that walked up, and that angry soldier with the sword is looking at him like this, and Jesus just stands up. Says, what do you want? Now, I'm not talking about being cocky in the flesh. And I'm not talking about being ignorant and not being vigilant. I'm talking about fear. Do not be afraid. Fear is not of the Lord. Nobody's going to come in. And if they do, all they can do is kill you. That's all. It's God that can kill you and send us to hell if we don't worship him and honor him and receive him and praise him. This is not our land anyway. This is not our life. Our life is in eternity. Yes, we be vigilant, but do not be afraid. And then in verse 32, isn't that a bold Jesus? That's the Jesus, that boldness I love. And if you happen to see it, Dan, even after the service, it was an email I sent Nikki. So if you happen to find it, that'll be great even afterwards. It's a really excellent video that I encourage you to see. And then he says over in verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him before the Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown him with my Father. You ever got embarrassed to speak in the name of Jesus? You ever got embarrassed or even timid of speaking the name of Jesus? Well, sometimes that happens, and sometimes we get a little uncomfortable. Here he goes talking about Jesus again. But don't deny him. In fact, take it the other way. People who get offended by Jesus are usually the ones who need him. They need to hear him. And when I walk up to him and I mention Jesus, he goes, what are y'all talking about? Oh, nothing. No, don't let that reaction be. So I'm talking about Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know who I'm talking about? Man, he's the greatest life. He's a bold man. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my everything. He's the reason why I can breathe right now. And we let them know who Jesus is. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Verse 11, chapter 11. He jumps over. And he says, then Jesus began to denounce the town, the whole town, in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. He performed miracles in this town, and they did not repent. So he denounced them. Woe to you. Now, when God says, woe, that's a bad one. Woe to you, Bethsaida, For if the miracles that were performed had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, then they would have repented a long time ago. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for this Tyre and the city of Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. This will be greater. When you see the miracles of God, when you start to see the miracle of God, don't be fearful, but repent. Chapter 14. Chapter 12 goes on. Let me jump to 12. 12 goes on where they started rebuking Jesus because he was working on the Sabbath. And they were rebuking him and telling him they shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus said, hey, I'm the one that made the rule. I made that rule. Sabbath was made for me. Trying to help you guys get some rest, a day of rest. You don't tell me what to do. This is Jesus talking. Then the next chapter, he comes over there and he missed the fishing trip. They went out fishing without him. He was late. I don't know what he was doing, but he said, no problem. He started walking on the water, walking out towards them. People looked at him and go, ah, it's a ghost. It's a ghost, and they're fearful. Again, Jesus said, how many times did Jesus have to say that? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of someone that's killing you, because you don't have to protect yourself, because God promised that he will protect you. It's not up to you and your strength. God promised you that you're going to be healed. God promised you your sight will return. God promised. You don't have to do it on your own will. Again, chapter 15, Jesus confronts the religious leaders and goes after the sinners. And he started rebuking them. And one of the disciples said, Jesus, Jesus, did you know that you offended the Pharisees? You offended the Pharisees. And John could just see him. Jesus just looked at him. And he said, I've come to tell you the truth. And I come to tell you the truth. This is who we are. I'm going to kind of jump up a little bit. It's my first time asking for forgiveness. It's getting close to my cutoff time, but I still got a word for you. So over in chapter 20 is the one I'm looking for. I started flipping through my notes, and here we go, praise God. Jumping over to 22. Chapter 22. That's the part where the parable, where a king had a wedding. His daughter was getting married. So he had a big old wedding, big old feast, invited everybody, opened up the doors, invited everybody. Nobody came. Nobody came. And so this king got so angry. Look what he said. The king was so enraged, in verse 7, chapter 22, verse 7, he was so enraged, he sent his army out to destroy the murderers and burn their city. Verse 13, then the king told the attendants, tie him up hand and foot and throw him outside where there'll be darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as Jesus was talking about the parable, he was talking about the ones who don't come to the seed into the kingdom of God, who don't receive Jesus, who don't receive in this communion, the people who are not coming to his church, the people who have not received Jesus Christ in their heart. There is a hell. There is. It was created and made for the enemy, not us. Not us. We have no business even walking that direction, because we know Jesus. You've heard Jesus. You've seen Jesus. You have accepted Jesus. And if you hadn't, there is a hell. And I strongly encourage you to come join up with Jesus. Come join up with Jesus. He comes up, chapter 22. He goes again, woe to you, hypocrites. He's talking to the Pharisees. You hypocrites, you're clean outside of the cup, but inside you're filthy. He was talking about the Pharisees. He said, yeah, you look good. Your robes look nice. You look nice and pretty. You look sharp today. You're looking sharp. But I'm Jesus, and I know what you got in, and you haven't repented. And I know what you see in, and you're not fooling anyone, because Jesus can see that. And then he goes on to tell them, clean out the cup from the inside. Repent. Bathe. Bathe in my glory. Bathe in my freshness, and I will forgive you. That's not the issue. We walk around and says, I don't even want to get close to Jesus because he might know. He already knows. We might as well tell him and give it up and say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, use me. And when God cleanses the inside of that cup, and when God cleanses the inside, the outside's already made clean, and he uses you. He uses you in great and mighty ways. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to do that, but he can't as long as we remain dirty. So that's why repentance is so beautiful. It's so beautiful, so refreshing. Lord, cleanse me. I want to be used. I want to be used. Jumping over to 2024, he starts to talk about his return. He starts to talk about his return. And he says, truly, truly I tell you that one will betray me. He's at the Lord's Supper. He says, somebody's going to betray me. The one who dips his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. And then he said, the Son of Man will go just as it was written. It was already written. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of God. It would have been better that he wasn't even born. See, Jesus has some harsh words and strong words. And these words I'm merely repeating. But these are harsh words and strong words from a loving Jesus. And we must see that harshness and that strength that Jesus says. He starts talking about, in chapter 25, he talks about the gifts. Remember the gifts and the talents? He gave one ten and, you know, he multiplied them. The guys who had multiple bags of gold went and invested it, and they came back and said, here, Jesus, here's your extra. Here's what you got. And then when he went to that one that he just gave one bag to, that guy with the one bag goes, Lord, I know how strong you are, and I know how tough you are. He goes, so I got this bag, and I buried it. And here it is. Here you go. Back to you. And the man got livid. He got upset. And he told him, wouldn't it have been better if you had nothing in coming over here? The one who did nothing, he was condemned. Now let me throw another little parenthesis. We need some people here to rise up, to stand up, rise up, and take different leadership positions. God has shuffled stuff around. And at first we said, oh, what's happening? What's going on? Oh, no, it was God. Things are shuffled around, and now there's some empty slots. And many of you have stepped up and have helped out the body of Christ here at TCAC and have taken part. And I thank you, and I congratulate you. Many of us that you haven't seen, myself, others that you haven't seen before, are stepping up because there's that need. We still need more. If God has given you a talent, if God has given you the talent to work with the children, to work with the video, to work with all the things that are mentioned in the bulletin, I ask you, don't bury that talent. Use it. Use it for the Lord, please. He blesses. He blesses. That's not why we do it. That's just a little side effect. Chapter 26, verse 67. Wow, I'll get my head straight. Chapter 26, verse 53. This is a part of Gethsemane. This is a part of Gethsemane when they came to arrest Jesus. And he came up, Judas kissed him on the cheek, they arrested him, and Peter looked at that, he pulled his sword out, and he was aiming for the jugular vein, missed, just got his ear. And he took ready, come back, take another swing, and Jesus grabbed him and said, whoa, put the sword down. Here, buddy, here's your ear. So put your sword down. Don't you think I'm tough enough to handle this? Shoot, if I wanted to, I'll bring my 12 legions of angels down here. Wipe them all out. Don't you think I can do this? Do you know who I am? I am Jesus. We are not going to do it like this. And instead, Jesus allowed them to take him. That boggles me. That boggles me. And then he goes on in verse 67. They spit on his face. They spit on Jesus. He knew who he was, and he allowed this to happen. And they beat him. He put a cloth over his hand. They hit him with a stick and they beat him. You think you're a Jesus? Tell me who did this. And they beat him and they kicked him and they spit on his face. Oh, I don't know if you've ever gone through the disgrace of being overtaken, of being beaten. But then when they mock you right there, there's nothing you can do. That's hard enough. But when they can, when somebody comes up to you, a little kid comes up and hits you, and you can just smash them, but you decide not to. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why in the world would Jesus allow himself to get beaten, kicked? Because he loves you. Because he came down for that very purpose, to pay for your sins. Because the sins and the things that we try not to do, but I've done it and I did it again. Lord, please forgive me. Help me with this. I'm trying to walk your way. I'm going to walk your way. I'm going to walk away. And we fall short of the glory of God. And Lord, I know I asked you 700 times, but can I ask you again? I'm trying my best. Please forgive me. And God will forgive you. Why? Because of what he did on the cross right here. It goes on. And I'm about to finish. You say, man, you're going on. Just to be a little bit more. Chapter 28. They crucified Jesus. They beat him. They hung him on the cross. He died. His blood ran out. He died. His body literally died. But he wasn't afraid of the people who can kill him. He wasn't afraid. Because he said in 3 days he'll be back. And in 3 days that stone moved away. And then we see the power and strength of who Jesus was. And the stone rolled away. And two of the women ran up to him to go look for him, and he was gone. And they ran off. They didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden he appeared to them. Jesus, after his death, he resurrected. And he appeared to those two ladies and he goes, greetings. Hey there. Hello, what's going on? And they looked at him astonishment. And he says, do me a favor, go call all the disciples, get them all together. I want to talk to you guys. So they ran and they obeyed every word he said. They obeyed every word he said and they ran to go get that done. You know, when God speaks, we must obey every word that he says. Jesus speaks through the word of God, and we need to obey every word that he said. We can't just pick out the nice stuff. And I know I picked all the tough stuff. Just to remind you that they're there. But Jesus is a strong, powerful, mighty God. He defeated death itself. And he resurrected for us. So that's the Jesus we can depend on. That's the Jesus that we can walk with. That's the Jesus that we believe in. That's the Jesus that we call upon when we need help. That's the Jesus that we can follow the example. That's the Jesus that we can walk straight, walk with confidence and boldness, and know that we are children of God and children of Jesus Almighty. And even if you put a sword to my neck, so what? That's all you can do. Kill me, because I'm going with the Lord. That's the Jesus. That's the Jesus that's being offered to you. All these people were afraid of him. I would fear him. Remember in the book of Revelations when John saw him? The Bible says a sword was coming out of his mouth. He had flames for fists. And I could just imagine the first thing Jesus said was, don't be afraid. Heck, if I saw that, I would be trembling. I would be afraid. But then it dawned on me. I'm on his side. He's on my side. Boy, I just hang on to my Jesus and say, okay, now try that again. You try that again. See what you get. You try it again. I got my big brother with me now. I got my God, my protector, my Savior. That's the Jesus who's right there by your side. He's right there with you. The day you accepted Jesus Christ into your life was the day that he stood by you, and he's with you, and he will be with you to the end of time. And if you have not accepted Jesus in your heart and asked him to be by your side, you should fear him. You should fear him. Because without Jesus, we're going to fear life. We're going to fear this planet Earth, and hurricanes and things that happen. We'll be terrified and trembling if we're without Jesus. We'll fear others that will kill us. We'll fear the future. We'll fear death itself. These fears pop up when we don't cling to Jesus. But we have Jesus by our side. Don't be afraid of that stuff. But if you have not received Jesus, there's a really good, just reason to be afraid. Not of him, but of all the consequences. So I ask you this morning, if you have not received Jesus in your heart and you would like to, we're going to have a prayer out here on the side. Please come and talk to me or one of the other pastors. Please. Because once you ask Jesus into your heart, he's on your side and you're on his side. And if you're not sure, maybe he did that a long time ago. There's what we call rededicate your life into Jesus, just to make sure. Come, please pray with us. And if it's your time to let the whole world know that you received Jesus and you want to be baptized into a new life, we offer that. God offers that to you also. Please come talk to me after service or to another pastor. What I'm saying is there's no reason for anybody to walk out the store and fear God. Because he's with us. He longs to be with us. I want to ask the ushers if we can come forward. We'll pick up the offering. And as I close, we're going to pick up the offering. After the offering is picked up and the ushers go back down, let's have a word. Let's stick around and have a word of prayer. Real short word of prayer together. But while you're bringing up the offering,